Friend, if you begin thanking God from your heart, it sets in motion such tremendous forces of God to give you victory, to cause you to triumph, to cause you to overcome. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph.
Can being thankful really change your life for the better? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join special guest Keith Moore as he shares the key to seeing peace in your life. Now here's Keith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Keith Moore, and aren't you glad Jesus is Lord and the Word is true? And glory to God, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't it good to know we got victory in Jesus? It is my distinct privilege and high honor to be with you this week and into next week at the request and allowance of the Copelands on this wonderful broadcast to teach and preach the Word of God. They're just is no greater thing. I really enjoy what I get to do, and I know what the Word has done for my life, and I'm in faith that answers will come, and the Word will build you up and give you the ability to lay hold of what has already been bought and paid for in our redemption. If you would release your faith with me right now, let's pray, let's believe God. Father, thank you for giving eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that is open and receptive. Let there come divine grace deposits, truth impartations that strengthen and quicken and questions answered and help by your grace. And we'll give you all the glory for setting us free. Get glory to yourself in every part of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for Brother Kenneth and Ms. Gloria Copeland, their family, their staff, this wonderful ministry. Strengthen them, Lord. Thank you for using them, and we pray increase it more and more. Amen. If you got your Bible, got your notepad, your pen, get it out, get ready, and let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Why don't you say that out loud right now? But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 14th verse says a similar thing. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor or perfume or smell of His knowledge by us in every place." Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Is there a connection between victory and triumphing, overcoming, and thanksgiving? Yes, there is. This series we call Thanksgiving Victory. And the Lord's caused me to see, and it just gets bigger in me all the time, that if I want to come out, if I want to overcome, if I want to win, I need to get thanksgiving in my mouth, and I need to keep it there day and night as a continual lifestyle. We talked about this on yesterday's broadcast, but let me remind you again, these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks." Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God." Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him let's offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Give thanks in everything, all the time, for all things, continually. Do you hear the language? We are to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Some years ago, the Lord asked me a question. He said, Keith, would you like to know how to increase your capacity to receive from me? Would you like to know how to increase your ability, your capacity to receive from me? I said, yes, please, show me. And he said, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And I got a little glimpse of what it meant back then. Oh, this is 20-some years ago. But oh, in recent times, it's really come stronger and clearer to me that I had barely seen the tip of the iceberg on this. Friend, if you begin thanking God from your heart, it sets in motion such tremendous forces of God to give you victory, to cause you to triumph, to cause you to overcome. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. You know, no matter what kind of life you have, you can be thankful if you choose to be. No matter how many benefits, how rich you may be, how much health you've got, you can be a complainer and a grumbler if you choose to be. You know, I've seen people that had all kind of money, that had huge houses and cars and clothes and all kind of opportunity and all kind of freedom, that were just miserable, because there was something they didn't have or something they wanted to do that they couldn't do. They focused on that until they forgot and were just unthankful for all the stuff they did have. They're miserable living in a mansion. They're miserable with all this money. They're miserable with good health. And yet, I've been to countries where people were sleeping on the ground, where they were eating terrible stuff, and yet they just smile night and day. They look up. They look so much happier than some rich folks living in mansions that I've seen. Why? They chose not to focus on their problems. They chose to focus on something good and were happy. Friend, you can be happy. You can be joyous. You can be victorious in the worst situations on the planet if you choose to be. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Or, no matter how blessed you are, and I mean from now on the rest of your life, God could pour blessings on you until you're way out beyond a lot of people, blessing-wise, and you could still be miserable every day if you want to focus on something and gripe about it. You can always find something to be unhappy about. It's a choice of what you look at. I want us to go to something today that is helps as far as a practical application. Go with me to John, the 11th chapter. John chapter 11. If you got your Bible, it'll help you if you'll turn in it and let your eyes rest on these things. What you look at makes all the difference in the world. If you look at light, light gets in you. If you look at darkness, you're full of darkness. And if you're thanking God, it shows you're looking at the right thing. Let me say it like this, and then we'll read this passage. You can't see the miracle looking at the need. You can't see your miracle looking at the problem. In John 11, this is the account of the feeding of the multitudes. And in John 11, I got ahead of myself. Let's look at John 6 first. John 6 and verse 11, this is the feeding of the multitude. Jesus made the people sit down, and in verse 11, he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and they gave them to those that were set down, and they were all filled. There was this multiplying of the resources until everybody was filled, and there were these 12 baskets left over. I want you to notice how it was initiated. Jesus, you know, he asked in John's account of this, one of the disciples, he said, where can we get food that all these people may eat? And he said, well, X amount of money wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. And then another one said, well, we did find a little boy's lunch here, but What is that among so many? They're focused on the need, the size of the need. And when you're focused on the need or on the lack or on the problem or on the pain or on the symptoms, you're not going to be thankful. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be depressed. And you cannot see the miracle looking at the problem. You won't be able to see it. But notice what Jesus did. Instead of talking about how much money it would take to feed these people and how small the little boy's lunch was and how it wouldn't touch the need, He takes that seed. And looking at that seed, He holds it up before the Father and begins to give thanks. Oh, do you see it, saints? And while he was thanking God, something began happening to that seed. And as he broke it and handed it to the disciples, and they broke it and handed it to the next person, and that person broke it and handed it to the next, it supernaturally multiplied. They had miracle after miracle after miracle until everybody got fed and there was this abundance left over. Notice when it started. Jesus looking, not at the need, looking at the seed and giving thanks. He did the same thing in chapter 11. That's where I was trying to go earlier. But in chapter 11, when he's standing in front of death itself, his friend Lazarus is laying there cold and stiff and dead in the tomb, been dead for days. And everything's saying, it's too late. Nothing can be done. Yet he lifts up his eyes to the Father in John 11, 41, after they had taken away the stone from the grave. And Jesus said, Father, listen to the first thing he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know you hear me always. Can you hear this? He's thanking the Father. Well, his friend's laying there dead. People walking by sight are not going to be thanking God. They're going to be crying. They're going to be feeling sorry for themselves. They're going to be heaving and sobbing and in the throes of anguish. But Jesus is not looking at death. He's not looking at impossibility. He's not looking at the need. His prayer is a seed. The Word is the seed. And he says, Father, I'm thanking you in advance. And while he was thanking him, apparently the anointing of God came on him and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And a miracle happened. He was raised from the dead. Do you hear the principle, friend? You cannot see your miracle looking at your problem. You cannot see your miracle looking at the need. But if you look at the seed, seed of your money, seed of your material, seed of the Word, if you look at the seed and give thanks, it sets in motion the light of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the faith of God. It's a trick of the enemy. Oh, beware the snare of grumbling and complaining. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10, let's turn there and look at that. 1 Corinthians 10 compares us with the first generation of Israelites that God delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And he says in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 10, 10, he says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Philippians says, do all things, without murmurings and complainings. When is it okay to gripe? When is it okay to be unthankful? Never. There is no situation that is justifiable to be griping and grumbling and complaining. And many, you know, most all Christians know that grumbling and complaining, being unthankful, is not a good thing. They know that. But most do not see the seriousness of it. Did you hear this phrase? Let me read the verse again now. Don't murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Complaining opens the door to the destroyer in your life. When you begin to complain, it's not just a negative mindset, you are ignoring the Word of God. You are magnifying the problem. You are feeding fear. Some very dangerous and negative and death-dealing things are set in motion when we are unthankful and we express ingratitude. But by contrast, when you begin to give thanks, oh, just the opposite happens. When you begin to give thanks, I don't care what darkness or bondage you're in, you immediately begin to come out. Oh, friend, does this strike your spirit? Did you hear this now? I don't care if you've been in bondage to drugs for 20 years. I don't care if you've been in debt and in bondage to overspending and fleshing out with your money and just been in the biggest mess for 20 years, 30 years. Doesn't matter. If you will quit despairing and quit complaining that your money's never right, quit complaining that you can't get set free from your habit, stop it. Stop it and begin to say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't have to know how. I don't know what it's going to take, but I know You're faithful and I know You've got it and I know You've given it to me in Jesus, and I'm just going to start thanking You right now. Lord, I thank You for bringing me out. Thank You for setting me free. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Friend, you do that and you are acting in faith. You're now shutting the door to the destroyer, and you're opening the door to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of victory. Some years ago, I was in a meeting, and a young man came to me after the service, and I had been talking about how that the Lord hath delivered us from all the power of darkness, and he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The truth will make you free. He came up, and he said, Brother Keith, I smoke cigarettes, and I've been smoking for all these years, and I can't quit. I'm bound to nicotine, and I've tried, and people have prayed for me, and he began to name off his pastors and different people and friends and family, and mama had prayed for him, and his brother had prayed for him, and people in the church had prayed for him, and he said, I've thrown away cigarettes, and I've done this, and I've said I wasn't going to it, and I've just gone back to it over and over and over, and I can't get free. I'm bound. I can't get free. And you could tell he was distraught because he had heard other people testify that they had gotten free and he wanted to quit. And he said, well, why can't I get free? Now listen to the language. I know he didn't hear it, but the more you study on what we're talking about, it begins obvious to you. I heard him say half a dozen times, I can't get free. I can't get free. I can't get free. Is he happy about that? No. Is he thankful about that? There's no thanksgiving around it. Are in it. He's complaining that he's bound. He's complaining, he's down, he's depressed, that he can't, that he's addicted to nicotine. I just smiled, I looked at him, I said, will you do what I tell you to? He said, if I can, Brother Keith. He said, don't tell me to throw my cigarettes away. I said, I'm not going to tell you to throw anything away. I said, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, okay. I said, never again say, I can't quit. Never again, not one more time, say, I'm bound. Never again say, I've tried everything and nothing works. Never again say those. Treat them like cuss words. Never say it again. And I want you to begin to say this. The Bible said, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. I want you to begin to say, I am free from cigarettes. I am free from tobacco. I am free from nicotine. He said, well, what about the smoking? I said, smoke on if you want to. He looked at me in shock. He said, I'll be smoking. I said, yeah, every time anything reminds you of a cigarette, you buy cigarettes, I want you to, when you walk out of the store with them, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from cigarettes. Did you hear the first two words? Thank you. I said, when you pull out a pack, you open it up, you pull out a cigarette, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. When you put it in your mouth, when you light it up, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free from nicotine. Thank you, Lord. He said, yeah, but I'll be smoking. I said, you're already smoking. Will you do this? I said, you've tried all that other stuff. Will you do this? He said, well, I guess I could. He said, but I'll be smoking. I said, you don't have to figure it out. Just do it. He said, tell me again. I said, in between puffs, say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free from cigarettes. Thank you, Lord. I said, you can do it. All you got to do is open your mouth and say it. He said, yeah, but I'll still be smoking. I said, I know it. But this is faith. This is how it works. I said, when you put them in your pocket, say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. When you lay them on your nightstand, when you're walking down the street, I mean continuously. Now, see, we're getting into this cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Continuously. I said, will you do it? He said, well, okay. And so he went his way. I don't know what was it, about a month or so. I saw him. He came back in where I was and had been speaking. And you didn't have to ask a question. His face was lit up. He walked up. He said, guess what, Brother Keith? I said, I don't have to guess. He said, I'm free. I said, tell me about it. He said, when I left, he said, I thought that's strange. I don't know. I'm still smoking. He said, but I thought, well, I told him I'd do it. So he said, every time, he said, I bought cigarettes. I lit up cigarettes. I'm in between puffs. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. And I forget how many days, how many weeks he said it was. But he said, I was on the street corner about to cross the street. And I was puffing on a cigarette. And I put it out. And I had said it so much night and day, I was saying it without thinking. I'd say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free from cigarettes. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. And he said, something came on me. He said something, the Spirit of God came on me, and it felt like something broke around me, and I knew that I was free. And then I began to profusely thank God for setting me free with feelings now. I'd been saying this for weeks without much feeling, but I'm just thanking God profusely. He said, I've never even wanted one since that time. He was completely free. Did you hear how it worked, friend? Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Yeah, but I'm not free. That's what faith is all about. Begin thanking Him now. Yeah, but I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, and I've done everything, and I've tried everything. Yeah, and you're griping, and you're complaining, and you're unthankful, and you're in darkness, and you're cutting yourself off from the grace of God. Stop it. Quit it. No more griping. No more complaining. Begin to say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of this. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but I'm believing you're going to show me the answer. I'm believing you'll give me the wisdom. I'm believing you'll bring people by to help me, to teach me, to put me on the right track. That you, if I haven't had the strength, you'll give me the strength. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, lift your hands right now. Begin to say it. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from all the power of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be unto God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Stay right there. We'll be back in just a moment to tell you about some other things.
Getting a job.
Paying bills.
I would just like to spend more time with my family.
Peace of mind.
Finding hope.
What is it that the world needs now more than ever? God's love. His love is all around you. From the moment you get up to the end of your day, God is there when you need Him. The promise He has for you is more than enough. That's what Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore are talking about in 20 dynamic teaching sessions. They take God's word and promises right to where you live with their own life experiences and powerful insights. Whether you're studying these teachings one by one or with friends and family, you'll discover a change. You're living life in the love of God. You're pursuing love and enjoying an abundant life. That's exactly what happens when your world is changed by the most powerful force in the universe, God's love. Order your copy of The Promise of More Than Enough, now available for just $18. For a product discount and faster processing, log on to kcm.org and order online. In this dynamic series of 20 messages, Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore share about all the provision God has for you. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy today.
Praise God, when you're saved, when your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know that the Lord is working on your mansion in heaven. You know you're going to heaven when you die. You know victory is yours and bought and paid for. You got a lot to be thankful for. If you've never given your life to the Lord, then you've been struggling with that and you don't have that confidence, and no doubt you've been focusing on the negative. Friend, if you've never given your heart and life to the Lord, today is your day. I want to pray with you. I want you to give your heart open and release your fears and inhibitions and put faith in the Lord Jesus today. He will come in. He will change you forever, and you'll have something to be thankful about. Pray this prayer with me. Humbly step toward the screen. Bow your knee if you would. Pray it out loud. Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son Jesus, that he died on the cross for me, that he paid the price for all my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive right now. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. As you help me, I will serve you and live for you all my days. Praise God, if you meant that from your heart, you know something amazing and wonderful is happening in you and on you. Give thanks to God for your salvation. The Copelands want to send you some wonderful materials here, several little books that talk about what it means to be saved and who we are in Christ. Just call or write or email the ministry. Let us know that you got saved. We'll shout with you, and they'll send you these materials free of charge. Glory to God, it's good to be saved. Well, this is Keith Moore, and like the Copelands always say, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcasts on CD or DVD, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to download your free copy of Keith Moore's Thanksgiving Victory. This engaging teaching will open your eyes to the power of being thankful and how it can bring blessing, healing, and prosperity to your life. Tell your friends and family to download their copies today. Thanksgiving Victory by Keith Moore, now available free on KCM.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Hello, My Name is God, live, a meeting with Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons on November 20th and 21st. Join them at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The Copeland Family Meeting in Orlando, Florida is December 3rd through 5th. Join George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons for a time of ministry at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search, all new at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try the new keyword search today at kcm.org.